Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and I'm so excited to be bringing home this Deep Dive Series podcast with Alice Technologies. I'm going to turn it right over to my guest co-host, who's doing a great job, Mr. Phil Carpenter, to recap all of these episodes and tee it up to bring this home for our final third episode. Welcome back, Phil.
Well, thanks, Devin. I appreciate you having me. Yep. So this is episode 3 of a 3-part series. Our sort of first or introductory episode, we had an interview with Renee Morcos of Alice Technologies, the founder and sort of the AI brains behind this service. And then we went into discussions with 3 different Alice customers about how they're using the tool. So we talked first with Mike McBean of Pacific Structures, then Chris Bays of HDCC. And now finally, we are moving to chat with Claire Lepoutre of Skanska.
All right. So back to show 236 and 239. And now we're getting ready to the final one to bring it home here. So make sure you go back and check those out. But all of these are their own global and timeless fireside chat, but feeding into this bigger discussion. And what we're talking about is all about the main message here is that Alice is an AI-powered construction simulation platform. And what they do is they work with some of the world's biggest construction companies, like we're going to talk with today, to help them rethink the way they schedule and manage their projects using AI or artificial intelligence. And as you know, the construction segment can be slow to adopt new technologies, and that's why we're talking about them on this deep dive series. The tool many of us for project scheduling and management of the different Excels or Microsoft Project, P6, these tools have been around for a long time. And it's so cool to have Alice as this breath of fresh air. And through AI, Alice enables their customers to create millions of potential schedules all at once, then analyze those options to find the path that best suits their business goals. And Tribe, how this is going to benefit you is that companies can reduce risk, save weeks of production time. And I raise my hand and say, when I say save millions of dollars in the crazy supply channel and how prices are going up and trying to keep up with this, now is the time. So my perspective for this is I'm a student with you all, right? And we're learning and growing together through understanding how AI can be part of our business and having as much fun as possible. Phil, let me turn it back over to you. What your role is with Alice and your perspective and what Alice is all about.
Yeah, you bet. So I'm our chief marketing officer, right? And as you described well, I think, Devin, you know, Alice is a simulation and optimization tool designed for people that are building large, complex projects, right? So this is often infrastructure. So think bridges or highways or airports. It can also be big commercial projects, say like a 40-story mixed-use tower project. And there are lots of different ways with these big complex projects that you could build them. What Alice really helps people to do is spin up all of these options about how you might approach these projects. The order in which you do things is particularly challenging, and then zero in on the schedule that makes most sense for them given their business objectives. That's sort of part one. That's the pre-construction portion of it. Then part two, when the actual build happens, look, as we know, from like day 3 of your project, you're starting to probably veer off schedule. Alice helps you to manage against the schedule. And then if you need to redo your schedule, Alice can do that for you, and they could do it literally instantaneously. As many of you know who've tried to do that in times past, that could be a big, complex exercise. But with AI behind it, it doesn't have to be. It also actually can be quite helpful in the bidding stage, right? Because getting that number right, getting to a point where you as a GC are comfortable signing up for a figure is a challenging process. You want to be able to bid with accuracy. So before the project even begins, Customers are often using Alice now in the bid, or what's also called overseas, the tender. And we'll be talking about that with Claire today, because she's been doing a fair bit of that.
All right. And what's your main perspective, just one last time before we go in, to learn about her company and what Claire's all about?
Yeah, you know, I at the high level, look, it's the AI can help to spin up choices, spin up options, right? Literally to create tens of thousands of potential scheduling options in an afternoon. But then it's up to the humans to make choices about what they actually execute. And I think this partnership between computer and person is really fascinating, because what you have here is we're taking advantage of the best skills that each brings to the table.
Outstanding. So without further ado, let's pop in and have a fireside chat with Claire, who's the head of planning with Stanska. Lock and load, tribe. What's your favorite beverage?
I'll stick with a British stereotype and say tea.
All right. And tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
A couple of years ago, we went on holiday to India and did the Delhi Agra Jaipur Triangle with a little side shoot off the Ranthambore National Park. It was epic.
Oh, I'll give us one story from that trip.
We went out a couple of times to try and find the tigers, and we had no luck apart from on the way home back to the hotel on a final afternoon. Incredible. We just turned around the corner, and there was a couple of tigers sat right in front of us.
Oh, wow. And tell us about your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction arena that we passionately call the art of construction.
So as a mother of three, my only interest outside work is looking after my children.
Well, that's very respectable. Well, Claire, what is your story to led you to being the head of planning at Stanska?
If I start at the beginning, I grew up in a fishing village with a beach and a big cliff, and the cliff was eroding, and I used to they put some seawall defenses up, and I watched them put them up, and I was thinking, wow, that looks cool and I'd like to do that. So that got me into civil engineering. I graduated from university and joined a contractor, worked on site for 7, 8, 9 years, and then moved into pre-con and then into pre-con planning, working on a huge diverse range of projects, and of the projects we won, I used to go out and help with the planning on those as well. And then I moved in towards the head of planning role.
All right. Well, we got to know a little bit about Claire. Let's get into this. And so tell us, when and where was it you first saw the potential for AI to help improve your efficiencies?
So I think we all know that there are a huge number of efficiencies on a construction site, both out on site and with the processes that we run on our projects. Some of those inefficiencies are due to poor planning. And I'm thinking, why? What's wrong with it? What are we doing wrong? What is it? A lack of experience? Are we trying to rush? Is it just the wrong behaviors? And then I started thinking about what my planners or what our planning teams could do to help resolve that. So our planners ought to be looking forward all the time, looking what we can do differently, how we can improve what we've been doing. And I came to realize that lots of the planners are tied up looking backwards, reporting what happened last month, not looking forwards. So I started to think about, how can we automate these processes? What can we automate? What does the planner have to do? What do you not need a planner to do? And that sort of moved me into thinking about AI. And if we're talking about Alice specifically, it sort of struck me that there are ways that we can introduce efficiencies by some of that pre-planning, some of the looking at what could go wrong and planning for that at the outset and having an idea of what we're going to do if that goes wrong.
Yeah, and you recently were part of a webinar that was a lot of great content. And we'll put links to that in the show note that Phil ran, and he's out there just bringing all of these stories together and all the different platforms. And you talked about 4D. Can you talk a little bit more about that for the podcast listeners here today?
So Alice was, I originally saw Alice through a 4D webinar. Wow, it must have been this time last year. And as they were talking, it struck me that this isn't really 4D? It's something slightly different. And is it risk that we're actually really talking about? And yes, 4D is an output of what you're doing with Alice, but it just struck me as something slightly different and something we could work with.
So can you talk a little bit about Stanska as the company that you work for? And then can you talk about some of the efficiencies that are really important to your company?
Okay, so I work for the infrastructure side of the business in the UK. And some of the efficiencies that I'm interested in looking at is, as a planner, as I would do, I think that time is super important. And for me, time is money. And whatever we can save, we're taking it off our prelims. However much more efficiently we can deliver the work, we're adding to our profit. So I suppose there's two sort of main examples for me. So the first one would be how we move material around our sites. So we do lots of long linear projects. So on an earthworks project, moving those earthworks efficiently around the site is absolutely key. Getting the right material to the right place at the right time, with the right method, using the right piece of kit, along the right route. It's super important. So that's bringing benefits in terms of time, cost, quality, impact on our stakeholders, impact on the people that are trying to use the road network or rail network around us, but clearly also for the environment. And I suppose the second example, a slight touch on earlier, is about looking at the way that our planners deliver the programs. And if we can find an efficiency to make sure that they are always looking forward or spend the majority of their time looking forward, that's got to be a benefit to us, understanding what could happen next and working from there.
Yeah, totally. I love that whole time is money, right? And we have to find efficiencies in as things continue to move forward. I'm going to turn it over to you, Phil.
Yeah. So thinking about, particularly how Skanska is putting Alice to work, as I mentioned earlier, and I want to give Claire a chance to talk about this, the company has been really focused initially in its work with Alice on tenders or bids. And if you think about those, there's a fair amount of risk associated with that. And Claire touched on the topic of risk, because look, if you sign up for a figure that you then can't hit, or you sign up for a deadline that you can't meet, you're in trouble. And many projects often come with large, what they call liquidation damages, which are penalties for being late, as many of your listeners know. And those can be substantial when you think about the scale of the projects that Skanska is involved with. That's big time. So being able to mitigate risk by really being thoughtful and planning wisely with your schedules up front is really important. And then, in the situation where, look, if you actually deliver earlier, there's an economic benefit to that, as there is in many situations. Being able to hit that and actually, come in early, what a pleasant surprise that would be, given most projects coming late. So anyhow, those are some of the things I know that Claire has had in mind with their work, and eager to hear more specifically about some of those tenders. And Claire, let's hear directly from you. Can you tell us a little bit more about why Skanska is looking at using Alice?
So I think we've probably got four main reasons. So one is the efficiency that I was talking about earlier, giving our planners and our project team a bit more time to work efficiently, but also to use the information that we've gained from Alice to make better decisions. Looking at risk reduction, so we're hoping that through the power of AI, we can understand our risk activities in a much greater detail and understand how they can impact the project. So then we get hopefully a better idea of cost, time, environmental, health and safety, whatever other impacts you could possibly be. So once we've got a better understanding, we can understand how to tackle those problems, how we can budget for them properly. And that's got to be better for us. It's got to be for our customers and better for our stakeholders. So once we understand how we can respond to those risks, we can think about what our response is to our customers' key dates. So if we're being asked to deliver for a specific date, and we'll obviously be working towards that. But if we can challenge some of those risks along the way, then maybe we can be a bit more certain that we can meet those dates. And maybe that also allow us to offer a little bit of flexibility about give get dates, for example. I'm hoping that Alice is going to help us a lot more with communication improvement. So we all know that the 4D element of Alice is never going to replace a lovely, beautiful, shiny video that's been put together, a Hollywood video, as I would call it, for a client submission. But it will actually help the day-to-day site user. So understand exactly how the project will be built rather than a beautiful, shiny video. And something that's totally responsive to how we want to, the changes that we want to make to the way that we deliver as well. And then finally, efficiency in the way that we work. So Skanska UK, infrastructure element anyway, don't deliver an awful lot directly. And I know Mike covered that on his podcast previously, but we do need to look at efficiency across the whole project so that we can ensure that our suppliers are working efficiently so that we collectively can meet our targets and guard our float in the program.
I love that. It's kind of what I would say is be careful about the shiny object syndrome, right? And there's so many tools that give this, and that those are important, right? Like there's really great partners we have like Enscape and different, you know, Autodesk tools and all the stuff that can create this really great stuff on the front end to get buy-in and get excitement around that. But what I'm hearing from you is like, this is a tool that can really help with the stuff that can really have a project be successful and be on budget and figuring those things out around that. Phil?
Yeah, I think that's a good summary, Devin. If you could, Claire, tell us a little bit about the project types that you're considering using Alice for.
We're looking at highways projects, so mostly linear and a couple of railway projects as well, again, clearly linear, but also on projects that are, let's call them challenging for some reason or other. Maybe they're challenging because of the time available to deliver them. Maybe they're challenging because of the location or the logistics of the site. But we're also looking at using Alice on projects where we're going to have a lot of interfaces. So where there are multiple main contractors on a project or a program of works rather than a project, I suppose. And certainly our move to an alliance type working would support that.
Love that. Taking a bunch of different systems and using this tool to help mesh them all together to make sure we're all playing from the same sheet of music. So as we were doing all our pre-interviews, I really love when we get to go to other places around the globe and what people call stuff. And I just have to put it out there because I wasn't even quite sure what you were talking about. This is just kind of that fun part of the episode to say, what is a tender?
So I have the same problem in reverse. that's the American term that completely lost it for me. I feel like a graduate again. Tender is, I think, what you call a bid. So it's a client will come to us and say with a collection of drawings or perhaps a model or perhaps an image of what they think they might like in the future and say, can you price this for us? So that pricing, time, working element is a tender.
Yeah. And so that bid or proposal, and it boils down to the art of bidding or the art of the tender of to say, that's the part where when the contract of what you say or what you do and how you present that. And it's this part of like the contract keeps getting longer in some instances and smaller in others to try to match this all together. And at the end of the day, we're all trying to create successful projects of how you pass that baton back and forth. And we all need help to have these artificial intelligence come in to say how we could be better at actually crafting to build better buildings. So whatever you call it around the globe of a tender bid proposal, it all boils down to one source of truth. And as you go, we just released a podcast with the robotics team from Trimble today. If you go back and listen to that, and that's what Trimble's been after in their whole value proposition is one source of truth. And I think this is where Alice comes in is a key part of that to not necessarily replace, but be a key thing. So I ask, is AI replacing the job of project managers or just allowing project managers to better do their jobs?
I think it's allowing people to work smarter. So for me, I think of it as a tool rather than trying to replace someone. So you're supplementing the information that or augmenting the information that someone can process. That you're giving them a tool to make better decisions and really focus on what adds value.
Totally agree. Phil?
Yes. So Claire, I know, as you mentioned earlier in the podcast, you know, you are very focused on infrastructure. So can you tell us a little bit more about some of the specific kinds of infrastructure projects that you're working on and that you're considering Alice to help you with?
So we've got numerous live road and rail projects. So we've got frameworks with the main highways supplier in the UK. It's one of the areas where we trialled Alice in the first place. We're moving and trying to understand how we could move muck around the project in an efficient manner and how we could make sure that the right structures were built at the right time so that we could move that muck in an efficient manner. And that sort of extends into the type of projects that we'll be looking at in the future. So it's heavy civils, complex road junction type of work, and high speed railway work.
And I know, you know, in particular right now, there's a real emphasis in the UK on trying to reduce the environmental impact of the work that happens in construction. How do you think that Alice could help you here?
So the environmental impact is something that's super important to Skanska in the way that we work. So I think maybe Alice is helping or should be able to help us in two ways. So it's one, through being able to work more efficiently. So if we're able to work more efficiently, maybe we'll have less vehicle movements, and that alone will cause less carbon to be released. But I think the other main aspect is looking at enabling us to make better decisions. So we can use this scenario tool within Alice to investigate different ways of delivering work, and through those different ways of delivering work, look at also be considering the way that the impact of the way that we're working has on the environment and the people around us.
Yeah, and we'll make sure to put links to the show notes of what Skanska is doing about the race to net zero. And it's cool to see all the great work they're doing. And it's fun to be part of these conversations to say these tools can be things that can really help to fix and solve this when it comes to our carbon footprint. So thanks for sharing that. So any internal resistance that you're seeing to using a tool like Alex that you've seen? Because we really want to, you know, we don't want to just talk about how, you know, everything has its strengths and weaknesses, and we all got to figure out how do we overcome this?
So, yeah, we had some resistance. I'm not going to lie. Alice was a big investment for us. So we need to really, really understand how and where it works for us, how it works for each different project as well, and how that fits into the way that we work, how it fits in with our existing processes and softwares. So that's partly why we took up the trial option. So lots of our staff are very used to working on JVs or joint ventures, as we call them. So they're not necessarily used to using the standard Skanska tools. And maybe they want to use something slightly different, but we want to have something standard across the whole of the infrastructure business so that we've got some standard reporting, some standard ways of doing things that would help us. So it's back to that efficiency of process I was talking about earlier. So there was resistance in that way because we want to do something slightly different than they used to. So it was the trial period that helped us, and the presentation of the outcomes of that trial period to the senior leadership team. The results sort of spoke for themselves and led us to continue on.
I liked the sounds of that, Phil. The results spoke for themselves.
Yes, indeed. We were pleased.
So how do you hope to use Alice in the future from these conversations and examples we've talked about?
So our trial really focused on the pre-construction phase. So that's where our focus is in the immediate future. So supporting tenders, and each of those are for a different reason. So maybe it's a project that we've got to deliver really quickly. Maybe it's one with loads of interfaces or complex relationships with third parties. In the longer term, we want to have a look at manage and how that can help us and tie in with our processes.
So, Phil, I keep hearing this as we have these conversations, as I'm learning about Alice, when we kind of look into that BHAG, that big, hairy, audacious goal, the word manage keeps coming out. So kudos to you on that, what you're doing of kind of teeing that up there of the crawl, walk, run. Could you just kind of talk to us about the manage part of your platform a little bit?
Sure. So the manage piece, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, that's the piece that you use when you're actually in the midst of the build, right? So you're either trying to keep your project on schedule, right? And manage helps you to monitor how you're faring against the original schedule. But then also if you stray for whatever reason, I mean, life happens, right? You've got a shipment of steel that's late, or you've got labor that goes on strike, you know, whatever happens, sometimes you do get off track. Alice can help you reschedule, literally recalculate your schedule and get back. The other use case that we have seen increasingly is people coming to us when they're in trouble, right? So they know they're off base and they need to get back on, and they enlist our help for project recovery. So to kind of look at, we're 3 months behind. How can we possibly do things differently? And lo and behold, you know, that with the help of AI, they are often able to recalculate that schedule, figure out a better way to go, and not only actually meet the original commitment, but sometimes actually beat the baseline schedule. And that's all done using Alice Manage.
Awesome. So as we get into closing this thing out, the questions we always ask, and I'm really excited for your perspectives on this, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology in construction?
I suppose it's not going away, is it? And we need to think about it. What problem we're trying to solve? So it's not just grabbing the next shiny tool that seems to pass us by. What are the problems we're trying to solve, and what is the solution? What is the right solution for that problem? So I'm assuming that that's going to be a combination of different softwares and different things that we're going to be continually trying to tie together. And we need to make sure that the softwares that we've got are all complementary to each other, and that we're getting the best out of each piece of technology that we go ahead with. And it's the connectivity between them that's important. And I suppose we need to look at consistency across our business as well, because we need to be gathering the same kind of information in the same way on every project so that we can make the very best use out of that data in the future.
Awesome. And the final question, just to close this whole awesome conversation out, Claire, what is that one thing you want contractors and affiliates to think about as they go out there to crush it, to grow their business?
I suppose it's just to be open-minded, really, to be open-minded, to embrace change and listen to your team. Teams are all going to have great ideas, and it's embracing the ideas that they have. So I'm a super big fan of the 1% improvement theory. Loads of 1% improvements in the way that we work is going to lead to a big difference rather than trying to tackle everything at once.
Outstanding. Claire, thank you so much for being the guest to come close this deep dive series out and talking through how you're really taking AI to the next level. We can't wait to see what you and the team will be doing with Skanska and all the stuff through AI and Alice and managed services and all this stuff. And Phil, I'll leave it up to you to end this whole wonderful conversation. Thank you for believing in the art of construction and going on this journey with me. It's been an outstanding ride, and I feel like AI is becoming a more comfortable language for myself, and I hope for everyone else in the Art of Construction tribe as we put out these educational marketing services. I couldn't agree more with Claire. It's not going away, so let's all be the leaders of the tribe to move this forward. Phil, take us home.
Well, thanks a lot, Devin. No, it's been a pleasure producing this series for you. And I would encourage those of you guys who are listening today who may not have heard the first several episodes in this series, go back and listen to those, because just as we have heard today, some really interesting insights from people who are in the business and who are using this new technology to tackle some of the problems that they have. So definitely give those a listen. And Claire, thanks so much for your candor and for helping listeners here in the tribe of AOC to understand what you guys are doing. I think it's a really good application of the product, and I know there'll be more ahead. So thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone. Art of Construction Tribe, crush it out there. Have as much fun as possible and put a little AI in there to grow your business. Cheers.